My name is Jeff Lerner, and I interview elite performers from a wide range of disciplines, entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities, scientists, artists, and more. This is Unlock Your Potential. So I want to share briefly about what it really takes to operationalize love-based leadership in business. This is something that more and more has become clear to me lately is really, I think, the biggest thing I can do to uplift the world is to help the world heal its relationship with work. The vast majority of waking hours across society are spent working, making a living, earning money, trading time for money, trying to make ends meet, right? And that if we can't make the way we work and the places we work and the organizations we work for, if we can't figure out how to get them to be love-based, then we're always going to be at odds trying to live a love-based life. We're always going to have to split ourselves between our personal life, where we can, you know, theoretically choose to be love-based and build love-based relationships, and then our work life, where we got to go put on some hard-ass mask to go do the job, because we don't get to be the ones that decide what the culture is going to be and what the communication style is going to be and what the boss is going to tolerate or insist on or how the work's going to get done, right? So love-based leadership more and more has become it's what I believe I'm here to evangelize in the world. So I had an experience today that really, really helped crystallize the challenge of love-based leadership. And I want to walk through the experience from the standpoint of the three different stakeholders within the experience. So here's the basic setup. My wife was having dental work done, and I was at the dentist supporting my wife, sitting by her side, just, you know, holding her hand. She hates the dentist. She does not enjoy that experience. She enjoys it even less than most people. Like, it's like traumatic for her. So as much as I could, I sat by her, held her hand while they, you know, drilled on her teeth and whatnot. And as we were sitting there, one of the dental assistants, forgive the shaking camera, I'm pulling my sleeve up. One of the dental assistants asked if she could send a picture of my tattoo to a family member. So this is my tattoo. It says, if you can't read that, it says, "Don't wish it was easier, wish you were better." That's a Jim Rohn quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. That's why it's tattooed on my arm. And she asked if she could send that to a family member who has been struggling with an addiction problem and is, you know, trying to recover, and is obviously, that's a struggle. And she thought it might be helpful for them to see that quote. And she felt that it was somewhat serendipitous that I happened to have this tattoo on my arm on today of all days, when it sounded like just this morning she had been, you know, helping that family member with their challenges, but also trying to deliver some tough love of like, come on, you gotta clean this up, right? You gotta get your life together. You're gonna lose what you haven't lost already. And so, picture me. I'm sitting next to my wife. My wife's laying back, getting drilled on by the dentist. The dental assistant is having this conversation with me. Actually, the dentist had stepped away, and the dentist came back. Now, my wife, Jacqueline, who you may know or have seen, is a very empathetic, high intuition, highly love-based person. She's honestly the person that got me into the whole love thing, and certainly life is better now. But she really helped me put my guard down and soften my armor and become a person that is, you know, proudly and unapologetically striving to be love-based in every area of life. And ultimately, the reason I'm an entrepreneur is because I want to be able to be love-based at work. And if it's my business, that's easy enough for me to do. I don't have to ask permission for that approach, right? So anyway, she, after she got her dental work done, she sat up and she looked at the dental assistant. She said, "Are you okay?" And, you know, they kind of had a moment, and we talked a little bit about the challenge that she's facing going on in her life, the dental assistant. And then the dentist had come over at that point and said, and I'm not 100% sure if he was saying it in direct reference to the conversation we were having, or just, you know, my wife being conscientious, maybe she had said, like, you know, "Are you okay?" Or I don't know. Somehow she put off a vibe that she was worrying about other people being okay. And the dentist said, "Hey, you don't worry about us. We want to know if you're okay." And so then after we left, she said, "You know, I really hope that dental assistant," she obviously called her by name, she said, I hope she doesn't get in trouble or in any kind of a reprimand because she was, you know, because of what she shared with us who are, you know, the customer or the patient. I just hope she doesn't get in trouble. And I started thinking about the three stakeholders in this dynamic, right? You have us, the customer, you have the employee, and then you have the dentist that owns the practice, the employer, right? And the reason why, you know, most organizations, whether you're talking corporations, governmental organizations, the military, schools, the prison system, I'm trying to think of what are all the organizations, even religious organizations, faith-based organizations. The reason that, you know, ultimately love-based leadership is not the operational style of most organizations, but it's always some varying degrees of, almost always varying degrees of fear and control and management by threat or coercion or compliance, or at least the threat of a takeaway of, you know, if you don't do it the way we want, you might lose something. You know, fear and control and power, you know, hierarchical power structure. That's the way organizations get led. And that's the way communication happens in most organizations. And the result of that is that we tend to have to get smaller when we go to work. We tend to have to diminish ourselves, be a little less fully ourselves. We kind of got to pretend we have it all together. We got to put a mask on, put a costume on, pretend to be a certain, you know, professional, optimized character version of ourselves and do the work. And then we go home and we get to be messy and human and in, you know, vulnerable and in need of love, right? And so what does it take? You know, because here's the thing, like it should totally be okay, at least in my world, based on my moral compass and belief system, it's not only should be okay, it should be celebrated that this really beautiful, heartfelt person was having a moment where we had a human-to-human connection, an employee to a customer, based on a personal message that she saw tattooed on my arm that she took meaning from and wanted to share with my permission. Like, that is a really wonderful human moment that there's no way you could argue to me that that should not be okay for that to happen. And yet, because it was happening in a place of business, we left actually worried about the woman. Like, is she going to get in trouble? And I thought, okay, so what are the three different stakeholder dynamics that have to be at play? First of all, for me as a customer, I have to be okay with the fact that I'm doing business with human beings. And this was, frankly, a pretty expensive, you know, dental procedure, you know, five-figure dental procedure. And so I'm a high-value, high-ticket customer. And it has to be okay with me that the people that are doing the work, that are providing the services that I'm paying for, they're not, you know, perfect professional robots that just because I'm paying money and I want some sort of quality assurance or integrity within the product, that doesn't mean the people providing it have to be perfect. There's like this pressure, you know, from the customer point of view that we could apply on the people we transact with, that like, well, I want the product to be perfect and I want the people to be perfect and nobody's allowed to be human or have any mess or have a bad day or whatnot, right? So that's, you know, from the customer, me saying, hey, I'd rather do business in an atmosphere of love than an atmosphere of forced, pseudo perfection, because I'm spending money here, damn it, and I want everything to be clean and tidy, and I don't want any human mess around me, right? So me as a customer, I got to be a participant in an environment, in a business environment based on love-based leadership. And then you have the employee. Well, the employee has to trust that the customer is going to accept them and not question the value or integrity of the product just because they, the employee, present as any less than, you know, perfect or polished, while simultaneously trusting that the boss, the owner, the employer, whatnot, is going to tolerate or even support or even encourage or even reward humanity and authenticity and vulnerability and love, both giving and receiving within the business, right? So the employee is really in a vulnerable position where they gotta trust, they gotta be able to trust, and they have a hard choice to make, right? Because their livelihood's attached. And then the employer has to create an environment where employees feel psychologically safe and allowed to be human, not only allowed to be human with their employers, but allowed to be human with their customers, and in fact, loved for being human with their customers. And then the employer also has to worry about how the customer is going to react, right? So there's this triangle, right? And if any one, it's like three legs of a stool. And if any one of those three stakeholders is coming from a place of fear or scarcity, or, you know, essentially trying to promulgate the lie that because business is being conducted or money is being transacted, that somehow that means some party to that is meant to be, you know, perfect and inhuman, and that love and vulnerability and, you know, nuance it can't be a part of the environment or the exchange. Like, it doesn't work if any of the three compromise, right? It's kind of like an expanded prisoner's dilemma, right? The prisoner's dilemma, the classic prisoner's dilemma psychology experiment, requires two to trust each other and operate in faith and love. But this dynamic, employer, employee, customer, requires three. And that's why it's so hard, right? Because we all tend to operate, especially in business, in the professional part of our life, we tend to operate from a place of covering our own ass, right? And really to be able to trust and have faith that all parties in a business environment are going to be open and loving is a big leap. It's a big risk. But dang it, I think it's a risk worth taking. In fact, you know, for me, I've chosen entrepreneurship because I actually refuse to commit such a large percentage of my life, that which it takes, or certainly that which it took to earn the money to be okay. I refuse to commit that large of a chunk of my life to an environment in which I couldn't sort of insist on the type of environment that I wanted it to be. I wasn't, well, you know, that for me, that's, I would call that slavery. I wasn't willing to make that trade. And I get that everybody's in a different place and has to make that choice for themselves. But ultimately, I guess what I would ask, or what I would challenge, is that we start to all take a little more risk, the risk of being loving, being tolerant, being human, and to start to bring that into our work and stop living a life that is bifurcated, where we have the human part of our life that we call our personal life, and then this professional place where we're all supposed to have it so together that we can't even be ourselves. Because if there's one thing I know about every single one of us, it's that fully being ourselves is acknowledging that we don't have it all together. And that can be okay. And we don't have to pretend that it's otherwise just because we're transacting money and doing business together. So I hope that you'll join me in a crusade to bring love-based leadership into our work, so that we can actually inhabit a world that we want to go to work in. See ya.
Hey, it's Jeff here. If you liked this episode of Unlock Your Potential, it would mean so much if you would like and share the episode on whatever platform you're listening or viewing on. And if you really like what we're doing here and you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review. There is so much work that goes into these episodes, and you leaving a positive review lets us know that that work is reaching people, and especially it helps us reach other people. Your review could be the reason that someone else decides to tune in, check out this podcast, and unlock their potential and ultimately level up the quality of their life. So thank you so much for your support and for listening. Especially if you like or share or leave a review, thank you for helping us spread the word, and thank you for unlocking your potential to go make the world and your world a better place.